Please open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the second chapter, Isaiah chapter 2, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 715. We'll be reading just one verse, the 22nd verse of this chapter, and then we'll be turning to a couple of other passages to which I will direct you later. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 715. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? We'll read together, please, the 22nd verse. Let's read, please. Ready? Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Turn now to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. Page 790 in your Schofield Bible, 790. We will likewise read the fifth verse of the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. Let's read it together. Ready? Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now to the book of John, chapter 1. In your Schofield Bible, page 1114. John chapter 1 and verses 11 through 13. Likewise, we'll read these verses together, all in unison, beginning with the 11th verse. Let's read, please. Ready? He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And let's pray. And Father, we, of course, are confident of your presence with us. You promised that where two or three are gathered in thy name, that thou art in the midst of them. And we know that you're here. We ask that we might please thee. We believe that we could please thee through our faith. We believe that you're not only here, but that something will be accomplished of the miraculous sort that Brother Laurent talked about in his prayer. And we pray that you'd certainly meet with us and help us to please thee with our attention to the Word of God as it's preached. And very specially, we pray for thy help and blessing upon our preacher. Give him thy power today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want everybody now to find a seat. If you're standing in the back, I want you not to be moving around. I don't mind you standing back in the back, but I want you not to move around. By the way, we've turned the air conditioner a little bit warmer, and we'll have it up to 95 degrees for about 5 minutes if I know us here. But I want you to sort of stand where you are, no moving around, no leaving the building at all, nobody leaving during the service, nobody going in and out. We have about the next 29, 30 minutes. I want to talk to you. And I want everyone to be still and quiet. I want nobody taking notes. I want you to put your pens and pencils up. I want to just talk to you about something very important. Now, our people know that I rarely ever preach an evangelistic sermon. Our people win the folks to Christ in the homes, and they bring them on Sunday, and I rarely ever preach an evangelistic sermon. However, today I'm preaching to those two groups of people today. Number one, I'm preaching to those of you that believe in heaven and want to go there. That's the first group. Group number two, I'm speaking today to those of you that wish there were a heaven, you wish you could believe in it, and if there is one, you want to go there. I'm speaking to you. Now, you saved people. I will not be feeding you today from the usual type message that I bring, but I like that stanza that says, tell me the blessed assurance Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God and salvation by grace always feeds my soul. And those who know it best seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like the rest. When in scenes of glory we sing the new song, it's just going to be the old, old story that we've loved so long. So I want you to look right this way. I want no moving around. I want you to be very quiet and still. And let me tell you a little incident that happened at the O'Hara Field a few months ago. And then I'll pray and then bring the message and come back to the incident after a while. I was, as I do nearly every Monday morning, boarding an airplane for Florida in this case. I was on the plane, all ready to go. The door had been shut. The little walkway had been pulled away from the plane. And a man, the pilot, the stewardess came on the intercom or the loudspeaker system, and she said, "You must be seated, please. We cannot pull back from the gate until you're seated." There was a man back in the back of the plane that was standing up in the aisle. And so she asked him to be seated, and he did not. He remained. She went back and said, "Sir, you'll have to sit down." And he said, "I don't feel like it. I'm nervous, and I want to stand up." She said, "No, sir, we can't pull back the gate till you sit down." Finally, the co-pilot came back, and he pleaded with the man to sit down. The man said, "I'm not going to sit down. I'm going to stand up during the whole flight." He said, I'm nervous. I've never flown before, and I cannot sit down. I'd be fidgety." And the pilot came back, and the pilot said, "Sir, you're going to have to sit down. We're not going to take off if you sit down." So he did sit down. Then we pulled back and taxied toward the runway, and we're just about ready for the takeoff, and the man stood up again. And so the pilot said, "Sir, you're going to have to sit down." He wouldn't sit down. The pilot said over the intercom, the speaker system, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to go back to the gate. We cannot take off until everybody is seated." The plane went back to the gate. I wanted to go punch the guy out in the name of Jesus. But we went back to the gate. And so I'll tell you the rest of the story. Keep tuned in. And I'll tell you the rest of the story. Our Heavenly Father. Somebody will live in heaven forever or burn in hell forever over what we do and they do in the next 30 minutes. I'll declare what a tremendous responsibility. No doctor ever stands over a patient with a scalpel with more responsibility. Nobody in this world sits at the table of international negotiation with more responsibility than is on the shoulders of this preacher and this group today. Speak to our hearts. Amen. Right this way, nobody moving, nobody leaving. Israel, in our text, is facing judgment. The armies of Babylon are sharpening their swords for an attack. The horses of Babylon, the great empire of Nebuchadnezzar, are prepared for battle. The chariots are ready to roll. God's judgment is coming upon His people. Israel prepares to defend herself. Her army looks mighty puny compared to the army of Babylon. Seldom has there been an army so prepared for battle as there was under Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which is now Iraq. The armies of Israel, compared to those of Babylon, looked like toy soldiers. Her spears looked like pocket knives. Her horses looked like Shetland ponies. Her chariots appear to be go-karts. Her wall looks like cardboard. And she prepares herself with that little piddling army, nothing at all to compare with the mighty forces of Nebuchadnezzar. She prepares herself to defend herself. God looks down and through Isaiah the prophet speaks to Israel. And he says to Israel, you can build an army as big as you want to, but you cannot match the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. He says you can fill the Mediterranean Sea with your ships, but you will never defend yourselves against the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. You can fortify your wall all you want to, but it will not hold back the onslaught of the attack of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies. You can breed your horses and multiply your chariots, but you're not going to defend yourselves. You can sharpen your swords, you can thicken your shields, but you are no match for the mighty armies of Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. And then God says through Isaiah, four words, the title of my message today. Cease ye from man. He says God is your only hope. Your armies will not protect you. Cease ye from man. Your navy will not protect you. Cease ye from man. God said your only hope is the power of Almighty God. Quit trying to save yourself. You can't do it. Your armies can't save you. Your navy can't save you. Your chariots can't save you. Your horses can't save you. Quit trying to save yourself and let God, who alone can save you, do His wonderful work. Cease ye from man. Say it. Cease ye from man. Say it again. Cease ye from man. Say it again. Cease ye from man. Years later, these people tried to save themselves and couldn't. The Babylonian army came and attacked the city and attacked the country, leveled the walls, leveled the temple, destroyed their houses, and took into captivity the people of God. Now you have the nation of Israel in captivity, slaves, because they tried to save themselves. You have the people of Israel in captivity, slaves, because they put their trust in man and not in the arm of Almighty God. Now they're in captivity. Slaves. Another preacher preaches to these same people. He preaches about the same thing that Jeremiah said many years ago. He says to them that are captives in Babylon, you have one hope. You're not going to get out of Babylon captivity by the help of man. You have only one hope. You cannot do anything. Hear me now. You cannot do anything to get yourselves out of here. You are only going to be delivered by the power of Almighty God. And Jeremiah, Isaiah put it this way, cease ye from man. Jeremiah put it this way, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh his flesh his arm. Jeremiah said, cursed be the man that trusts in man. Isaiah said, cease ye from man. And I say this morning to America, our armies are not going to protect us. Our navies are not going to protect us. Especially that crowd back there. They're not going to protect us. If America is spared in this age, she'll get spared the same way Israel could have been spared. God is going to have to do it. Cease ye from man, says Isaiah, or you'll go into captivity. Only God can prevent your being captives. And once in captivity, Jeremiah said, cursed be he that trusts in man. You can't get yourselves out of here. God is going to have to do it. Over 600 years later, another preacher stands up in the first of John. And he says, concerning Jesus, he came unto his own. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, them gave you power to become the sons of God, even those that believe his name. Then he says, which are born,
not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He's saying the same thing to you today that Jeremiah said to Israel, cursed be he that trusteth in man. And the same thing that Isaiah said to Israel, cease ye from man. He says this. He says there's no way in the world you can save yourself. It is not, he says, by blood. That means your daddy can be the Pope. Well, that wouldn't be wrong. Well, maybe he could be. And your mother a nun. And you, that wouldn't do you a bit of good. It's not a blood. Are you listening? It's not a blood. Your daddy can be a preacher. Your mother can teach a Bible class. Your dad can be a saint. Your mother a saint. Your dad can be John the Baptist. And your mother Elizabeth. It couldn't be that way, could it? Elizabeth Jr. He's saying, nobody can make you a child of God. It's not a blood. You can't inherit it. Then he said, nor of the will of the flesh. He said, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Your flesh can't, I don't care what your flesh does, it can lay down in that baptistry, take that communion, but your flesh cannot get you to heaven. Cease ye from man, he said to Israel before captivity. Cease ye from man, he said to Israel in captivity. And 600 years later, John said, cease ye from man, you who are trying to save yourself. You cannot save yourself. Then he said, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. That means nobody else can save you either. Cease ye from man. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. It is not by blood, it is not by the will of the flesh, and not the will of man, but of God. What does it mean? That means I can't do it. No other person can do it. No group of people can do it. I saw something when I was in the army. Unbelievable story. I had a little lake near our army base. And I was out at that lake one day and I saw a man who was drowning. I saw one of my soldier buddies jump in the lake and swim out to him. I saw him grab the guy and put him on his body and going back, and the guy was drowning, fought him. Thought he was drowning, he would have drowned. He fought him. And the guy said, man, you got to quit trying. I can't help you. I can't save you as long as you try. And the fellow kept on fighting him. And finally, my buddy had the double of his fist and knocked this fellow unconscious. And the only way he could save this fellow was to knock him unconscious. What he said to him, I can't save you until you quit trying. And God can't save you till you quit trying. Cease ye from man. God comes this morning to those of you that think you're going to heaven because you're living a good life, and God says, cease ye from man. I can't save you till you quit trying. God comes to those of you that think you're going to heaven because you're baptized as a baby, and God says, cease ye from man. Whoever it was baptized you as a baby can't make you a child of God. If you don't quit trying, I can't save you. He comes this morning and says to those of you who think you're going to heaven because you were confirmed as a child, maybe on Easter Sunday, and you got a confirmation, and God says, cease ye from man. The man that sprinkled your head can't save you, and a man that confirms you can't save you, and the man that said he could absolve your sins can't save you. Cease ye from man. Only Jesus can save you. God said, I can't save you till you quit trying. Now listen carefully. He knocked this guy unconscious. And this guy was just laying in his arms. And he saved him. And that's exactly the way you go to heaven. You cease from the preacher for salvation. You cease from his baptizing you for salvation. You cease from the priest for salvation. You cease from the Pope for salvation. You cease from the communion cup for salvation. You cease from anything man can do and say, Jesus, I'm just going to let you do it all. And the minute you say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know Jesus went to Calvary, born of a virgin, perfect life, went to Calvary, paid my sin debt for me, rose again after 72 hours, and I know that's my hope for heaven. I'm going to quit trying to work my way to heaven, be good to get to heaven, take communion to get to heaven, get baptized to get to heaven, join the church to get to heaven. I'm just going to rely upon Jesus. He cannot save you till you quit trying. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Cease ye from man. He comes today to those of you that think you're going to heaven because you take the sacraments. Somebody puts a little ash, some ashes on your head, gives you a little wafer and sticks it in your mouth. And you drink a little juice and you think you're going to heaven. God says, cease ye from man. Well, you say, preacher, that's the way my church believes it. It doesn't matter what your church believes. It doesn't matter what this church believes. It matters what this book says. Cease ye from man. Man can't save you. You can't save yourself. Nobody can save you. A group of people that organize and call themselves a church can't save you. A man can't baptize you and save you. Put a wafer in your mouth and save you. Put ashes on your head and save you. Absolve your sins and save you. Cease ye from man. Jesus saves. Trust him. He comes to those of you who are trying to save yourself by church membership and says, cease ye from man. If you try, I can't save you. He comes to those of you trusting, hoping that someday the last rites will save you. Now you hear me well. You can call a whole army of priests. You can organize a battalion of popes if you want to. You can resurrect John the Baptist from the grave. You can bring back John the Beloved and Peter, Paul, and James, and all the rest of them. Or Peter, Paul, and Mary. All the rest of them. There is not a person beneath the earth, on the earth, or above the earth can get you that far toward heaven. Cease ye from man. He comes to those of you this morning who are trusting in your absolution and says, cease ye from man. You have hopes that when you die, some guy will come wearing a skirt and perform the last rites. I call them the last wrongs. Brother, nobody can get you an inch toward heaven after you. They can call a prayer meeting and call a wake or a nap, whatever you want to call it. They can call a wake and they can pray for you to get from heaven to purgatory or from hell to purgatory and purgatory to heaven. They can pray until they're hoarse and they can cry unto God. Have all the Baptist preachers, all the Methodist preachers, all the Presbyterian preachers, all the Catholic priests, the Pope, the rabbis, all of them. And they can't get you one inch toward heaven. You have got to cease from man and rely upon Jesus Christ. Only hope you've got. He comes this morning. Those of you who think because you got some special blessing. Now you listen carefully. I don't care what man has done for you. Cease from man or you won't go to heaven. He cannot save you till you quit trying. Back to my story. The stewardess said to the pilot, said to the man standing up, we cannot take off till you sit down. Co-pilot came back, said to the man, sir, we cannot take off till you sit down. Pilot came back and said, sir, we're at the runway. It's our time to take off. We've gotten instructions and the green light from the tower, but we can't take off till you sit down. That fellow would not sit down. We went back to the gate, took him off the plane, and the rest of us took off. And the rest of us are going to take off one of these days. And you're going to be left at the gate because you wouldn't sit down. Sit down and rest your eternity in Jesus.
cease ye from man, said the prophet to the Israelites before they went into captivity. Cease ye from your armies, trusting in your armies. Cease ye from trusting in your navies. Cease ye from trusting in your swords. Cease ye from trusting in your horses. Cease ye from trusting in your chariots. Cease ye from trusting in anything that man can do, man can build, or man can give. Cease ye from man. The fellow was taken off the plane, and we took off. Listen carefully. God will not take you to heaven until you sit down. By sitting down, I mean I sit down in this chair. I believe it'll hold me. I do not think it'll hold Keith McKinney. I believe it'll hold me. But I'm not saved, or I'm not trusting that chair because I look at it and say, I believe it'll hold me. I'm only trusting that chair when I sit down in it and trust it to hold me. Now then, I've trusted this chair. This chair's holding me. I'm not saved by believing it will, but saved by trusting it to do so. I sit down. If I stand up, I'm not trusting this chair. If I sit down, I'm trusting this chair. I'm talking to folks today who are trusting the Pope to save you. Sit down and trust Jesus. I'm talking to folks trusting your good works to save you. Sit down and trust Jesus. I'm talking to folks trusting your church, your baptism, your communion, your sacraments to save you. Sit down and trust Jesus. It's the old, old story. A little girl was invited one day to go to a little storefront church building. She went to the storefront church building, a poor little girl from the ghettos. The preacher told her the wonderful story of love. The story how that man is a sinner by nature. The story how there's a price on that sin. The story how that price is hell forever unless you do something about it. The story how that Jesus was virgin born, lived a perfect life, went to the cross and took upon himself our sins and paid the price for our sins in his body on the cross, rose again after 72 hours, and they said, that little girl, if you'll just rely upon Jesus and let him save you this morning, he will. And that's all you can do. And the little girl let him save her. She went home. She said to her mother, Mommy, I got saved this morning. Her mother said, what did you do to get saved? She said, I didn't do anything to get saved. I just did the letting and Jesus did the saving. You just do the letting and Jesus will do the saving. All you have to do this morning to go to heaven. You said, that's easy believism. Oh, shut up. I'm tired of hearing it. It's believism. Call it easy, hard. My Bible says faith the size of a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain. I'm saying I don't care who you are or what you've done. I'm saying I don't care how deep in sin you've gone or what the depths of your life have been. I don't care. If you know you're a sinner today and you know that sinners are lost and you know that Jesus, the virgin-born, perfect Son of God, went to Calvary and paid the price for your sins and rose again after 72 hours, if you will say, okay, I know that and I am just going to quit trying to save myself. I'm going to cease from man. I'm not going to have a curse on me because I'm trusting in man. I'm going to cease from man, and I am going to sit down. And we took off of that airplane. I sat there and put my feet up like that on my briefcase. My whole weight was on the seat. And I said, that's it. There were three people up there, pilot, co-pilot, and engineer up there in the cockpit. I didn't even know them. I got on that plane, sat down, and we took off. But if I'd stood up, we wouldn't have taken off. I had to cease from trusting myself, and I trusted those three. Well, praise God, up in the front of my spiritual airplane, there are three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And they are the pilot that's going to pilot and co-pilot and engineer taking me to heaven. The minute that I sit down in my seat and trust them to take me to heaven and let Jesus do the letting, But you say, Brother Hiles, what if I get on that plane and I don't behave myself? I've used this illustration time and time again, but I love it. Keeps me from studying. But I love it. Suppose I'm up there in an airplane. I trusted that pilot sitting down in that seat. We're up there. We're going to Orlando, Florida. I reach in my pocket. Take out this little pocket knife here. Cut the seat up in front of me. Slice it to shreds. Stewardess comes back and said, Mr. Howes, what you doing back here? I said, I'm just cutting up. I'm still going to Orlando because I'm trusting the pilot. And once he takes off, we're headed for Orlando. Stewardess walks up and says to me, you can't do that. I take a little lock of her hair and cut it off. I'm still going to Orlando. I won't enjoy Orlando as much when I get there, but I'm going to Orlando. I get to Orlando, but trust in the pilot. How much I enjoy it when I get there depends on how I behave on the trip. See, you got it all mixed up. You think your behavior determines where you get. No, you're trusting the pilot determines where you get. Your behavior determines how much you enjoy it when you get there. Pilot comes back and says, Mr. Howes, what you doing back? I said, I'm just cutting up. I take his tie and cut it off. Still going to Orlando. But I'm not going to go to Orlando till I sit down. I've got to trust the pilot. That big old plane takes off. And then we come to the Orlando airport. Now God says to you today, and by the way, I'm not, says, is this Baptist doctrine? If it weren't, it's Bible doctrine. Now you listen to me. The guy that tells you he can absolve your sins is your biggest enemy. I don't care how many skirts he's got on, how many robes he's wearing, how many sashes he's got on his belt, or how many bells ring as he walks down the street. I don't care. If he tells you he can absolve your sins, he's a liar, and he is your biggest enemy. Man that tells you that he can baptize you and get you to heaven is not your friend. Cease ye from man and sit down! He wants to save you, but he can't save you as long as you're trying. Now listen carefully. Anybody in this room this morning, I don't care who you are, smallest little bus kid that knows you're a sinner, the wickedest, vilest, filthy creature in this room this morning, I don't care who you are, you're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, you're lost and on your way to hell. But God loved you and did not want you to go to hell. And God gave His only begotten Son, and His Son gave His life on the Calvary and paid the penalty for your sin. Rose again after 72 hours and says to you today, if you'll quit trying to save yourself and quit trying to get other people to save you, cease ye from man and sit down and trust me to get you to heaven. That moment, God makes you His child. You say, you make it too easy. Bless God, I didn't make it. God made it. But God made it so you could get it free of charge. That means that everybody in this great sea of faces this morning can walk out these doors with your name written in heaven, and if you died, you'd go to heaven. Now don't tell me you don't want to. But there's something in your flesh that says, I want to do it. Cease ye from man. Then there's something in your flesh that says, if I can't do it, I want some other man to do it. Cease ye from man. Then there's something in your flesh that says, if I can't do it, no other man can do it, we'll all, a bunch of men can get together, maybe all of them together can do it. Cease ye from man. And just put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. We have weddings here. Do we ever have weddings here? I stand here. Beautiful flowers decorate the altar. We always have them on the platform. Beautiful flowers all over the altar. Nice. Three candles here, candelabras up here, candelabras up here. Good-looking men with beautiful, nice, handsome tuxedos and beautiful ladies with beautiful gowns and a lovely bride and nice wedding gown and the groom. And you got flowers and music and the atmosphere is wonderful. But the flowers don't get them married. and the music doesn't get him married. And the tuxedos or the wedding gown doesn't get him married. He could come in overalls and she could come in a bathrobe. Have her hair rolled up. He could have grease on his face and grease on his fingernail. Just came home to shop. And get up here and I could say, want him. He could say, ugh. I said, her, want him. She could say, ugh. And I said, got him. And they're married. They're married because they took each other. Jesus has already prepared for you, and all you got to do is say yes to his proposal. And trust him and him alone to take you to heaven. The prophet stood before the people of God, trusting in their horses and chariots and armies and navies, and said, that army from Babylon, far too powerful. You cannot match it. There's nothing your army can do, nothing your navy can do, nothing that your horses can do, nothing that your chariots can do. You can't save yourself from the mighty forces of Nebuchadnezzar. Cease ye from man and just rely upon God. They go into captivity, and the wise man Jeremiah preaches to them as they go into captivity and says, you can't get out of captivity yourself. You cannot get yourself back to your homes by man's works. He says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. And then the wise preacher of God stands 600 years later and says to all of us today, the same thing that Isaiah said, the same thing that Jeremiah said. Nothing that man can do to save himself, nothing that one man can do to save another, nothing that a group of men can do to save any rest of us. It's up to God. Right where you are, if you will say, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm lost, I know Jesus paid the penalty for my sins, rose again from my after 72 hours for my justification, this moment I'm ceasing from man. I'm ceasing to trust my baptism. I'm ceasing to trust my communion. I'm ceasing to trust my sacraments. I'm ceasing to trust my priest. I'm ceasing to trust my pastor. I'm ceasing to trust my communion table. I'm ceasing to trust the Pope. I'm ceasing to trusting man. And I'm trusting Jesus to take me to heaven. You can walk out those doors on your way to heaven. If you had a wreck on the way home, you'd be in heaven playing tag with the angels before Michael Jordan gets through playing basketball. Would you bow your heads, please? No one leaving. No one leaving at all. No one.